Hello, I'm Ewan Rankin, and this is Bagel Tech Mac, the weekly Mac show from the Bagel Tech Networks, which discovers all things Mac and discusses them and pulls them to pieces, rips them to shreds, and then gets a load of abusive emails afterwards telling us to go back to Windows. We're here to talk the week in Macintosh news with a fantastic panel. Top left, our usual top bottom left person, Chris Forsman from Ars Technica, our proper journalist, the one that's keeping up the end of the technology. How you doing, mate?
Doing pretty good today.
It's only been 13 minutes since the last time I saw you when we did photo, but never mind. Life in Chicago, windy, blustery, horrible, snowy?
It was cold last night. It's sunny today, but I have not left the house yet.
Good lad. Well, you never do, apparently, do you?
I'm too busy podcasting.
Good lad. That's what I want to hear. Next to him, we got Mr. Carl Swagger rejoining the fold after a big absence.
Yes. Sorry for that.
How you been?
Good. You know, I had some family emergencies and things. Things are getting a little bit better now. So really good. Actually, you know, what I've really noticed is my bank account seems to be growing.
Good lad. It's a phenomenon, isn't it? When you go out to work in the day and it just gets bigger and bigger.
Oh, no, it has nothing to do with that work. It has everything to do with my bet with the Apple TV.
Ooh, we can talk about that because that's going to come up again this week. Good to have you back, old boy. We've got Dr. Happy Mac. Finally, we get to meet, mate. I gather you actually turned up last week as well, no?
I was there for some of it, yes. In spirit, if not in body.
And I missed the office. Now, you've got the office there for us. Come on, mate. You've got to give us a video show of this. I know you talked it round last week, but new office, 10 metres long.
Yep, there we go.
That's a hell of a length. Is that the width of your garden or the length of your garden?
That's the whole width of our... That's the length of it. Oh, feel the width.
So your office runs down the length of the garden?
Yeah, it occupies the back third of our garden.
Very good.
So you can see there. This is my wife's bit where she makes her curtains and things. If we spin you around, you can see here the bottom end of the office where all the macking stuff goes on.
So that's tidy now.
That is as tidy as it's ever going to get.
Yes. And we got a picture of it. Jolly good.
There we go. That's it. That's
it where looks I'm living. Gorgeous, mate. Looks well done. Well done.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I wish I had a 10-metre long office instead of this crappy little hole.
What I thought I'd do is I'd take a bit down the other end and I'd set up this podcasting network.
Right. Go for it.
I thought.
Apparently bageltechnews.com's available for sale, but they want $500 for it, so I told them to shove it up their arse. Yeah, I'm not paying that. I've got Bagel Tech Net. I can go back to that if I need to. Next to him, new boy. A man who's been a very good friend of the network, helped us out immensely behind the scenes with, we can't say stuff because it's technical and it's probably illegal. And he's also helped us a great deal with Wirecast as well, setting up with that. Joda Max, how's it going, man?
Thank you.
I'm glad we've got you on.
Me too. I'm filling in for Christopher Woods, who is filling in for someone else, I believe.
Yeah, no. You're on the list of people that we intended to get on. It's not like you're a substitute.
Yeah.
But we've got you on because the last time you tried to come on was on the big show, and yeah. I had audio issues and you had audio issues, and in the end I just said, sorry, mate, we're going to have to leave it, and we didn't do it. Yeah. So I felt guilty ever since, but then we've never coincided. So we're back, we're here. The week in Apple, there's an awful lot going on this week. There's lots of rumours flying around, but that's never a strange thing with Apple, is it? But they're all to do with the product lines. First one, Mac Pro's a dead dodo. It's on its way out. There is no more. That is a dead Pro. What do we reckon?
Yeah. Now you're saying it like you know it for a fact.
Well, that's the rumour, is that the Mac Pro is disappearing. So from the product line, it's going to be dropped off the top end. Now, I mean, is it going to go, or is it going to have a replacement of some description?
It's going to go.
I'm sad.
No doubt in your mind, Joe.
Well, if you've got any doubt about this, you know, look at Final Cut Pro. You know, what's that?
True. Which runs perfectly adequately on a MacBook Air.
Yeah, so if the Apple don't have any Pro apps to run on these Mac Pros, you know, what's the point in having them? That's my...
Just sad. Take.
Why sad?
I don't know what the hell I'm going to spend $6,000 or $7,000 on now.
I mean, is it
send it to me?
Yeah, is it dead because it's just too expensive? I mean, your basic model doesn't start till sort of $2,500 now, £2,000.
Yeah, it does. So. I think that's why, honestly. I think because it's expensive. I think because they've got iMacs, they got everything. Hell, this Mac Mini that's right here, well, I can't lift it up, but it's powerful enough, actually. And you get into the iMac range and everything else. I mean, the pros are just becoming you already have a pro computer. There's already enough processing power in these things now, and you can add more at checkout, which Apple would love you to do if you're stupid. But it is probably time, I have to say. They're becoming more of a consumer electronics company, and I think that's just how it is.
Well, I installed the first one I've done for a long time on yesterday at an equine horse hospital. It's just ridiculous.
I'm not sure how that adds to the story, but go on.
We got the box. 6,000 quid they spent on.
Whoa!
6,000 quid. We opened the box, took it out. Could we find the keyboard? No. Could we find the mouse? No. $6,000. They don't fucking give.
Hey! 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 There's a weekend. Should we start again?
Oh. How can you ship 6,000 quid's worth of server without a keyboard? Or mouse.
They forgot to add it at the checkout. That's what? All it is.
Nonsense. And it, by the time we'd set it up, and it came with Lion Server, which was obviously a big minus point, and they bought a 27-inch iMac for the office bit of the thing, and the iMac's faster.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not good. No, that's definitely not good.
No.
Well, I'm just reading the chat room, and you know, British Mac Fan points out, you know, the only real advantage of the Pro is the expandability. But with Thunderbolt, that becomes less of an issue because you've got 10 gigabits both ways.
Yeah, you've got the integration then internally within the machine, which means that your transfer is going to go up. But as you say, that disappears entirely then with Thunderbolt.
Well, part of the $6,000 was that they'd spec'd it out with the Apple RAID card, which is 500 quid by itself, and then paid Apple for the pleasure of putting three extra 2 terabyte drives in, which they massively overcharge for. And then they went for the iMac, they went and bought an £800 Thunderbolt RAID box with 4 terabyte drives in it for 800 quid. And it's like this.
They got a lot then.
Sat there. Yeah, they got quite a lot of stuff. This box iMac is sat there with this RAID box next to it, which is a lovely Pegasus box thing, Thunderbolt into the Mac, mm-hmm. 4 2-terabyte drives into that. Even that's faster than the RAID on the MacBook Pro.
I love how the fact you tell your daughters that they can't watch the shows because of the end, and you're the reason now today that they can't watch it. It does sound a bit like, Jack, what did you do with the cow? You sold it for magic beans, really? Because, I mean, you're getting 2 terabyte drives for 60 quid now over here.
Yeah, so not from Apple, you're not.
No, absolutely. But they work just as well. They crap out just as infrequently or frequently.
Andrew, where was this at? Where was this at? For? Who for?
It's for a local company, a vet's, but they have an equine hospital. And this is quite exciting, really, because they have a CAT scanner for horses and an MRI scanner for horses. And they both use Macs to process the images. So basically, it's a massive CAT scanner. And you bolt a horse onto this floating pallet and you sedate it and then you push it on cushions of air.
Don't you sedate it first and then bolt it?
No, yeah, you sedate it well first. And then the CAT scan obviously takes 200 slices through the horse, and then the Macs process the images into 3D schematics of the horses.
Bloody hell.
It's fantastic. The CAT scanner costs $250,000.
Oh, at least.
And it's secondhand.
Cheap, I would have thought, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Mac Pro is definitely, I got asked to admit, I went to Everyday Mac Show last week, and they were saying about, I said, you know, what you need is an iMac in a box more than a Mac Pro. And someone said,
course,
iMacs
yes.
in a box would be the Mac Mini. But the problem is there's no graphics capability that's high enough within that, is it? I mean, is it tops out at 512?
Yeah.
256 even, perhaps? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, 256 in the Mac Mini for the AMD card, I believe.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, graphically, they've got to do something about that if they really want to say that the Pro can disappear and the Mac Mini's good enough
but
to take over at that level.
I have a theory. I don't think it's going to come true, but in line, the user agreement has changed and you're now allowed to run it in a VM. Now, we might know something about possibly illegal solutions, maybe, or they may not, but could they make that a little bit less illegal if they're going to get rid of the Mac Pro, is my thinking.
What, virtualization?
Well, a step above that, whereby you might play with installing it on a PC.
Are you talking about them virtualizing OS X into PC use?
Well, if yes.
Over Steve's dead body, mate.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Too soon.
I mean, I can't. Can anyone see them letting the clones come back?
But not like that, but maybe just very few for only workstations or something. I don't think it's going to happen, but surely it's a possibility.
All right. Okay. Well, do you want $20 on that, Joe, with Kyle? Because Kyle likes taking $20.
No.
Not on that.
No, I think that's pretty. I think that's pretty.
But besides, we can already do that. We can do a Hackintosh. In fact, we can do a Mac Pro right now. It doesn't need to say Mac or an Apple logo on the side. You can do a Hackintosh.
For £591 from eBuyer.
Yes, that's what I was avoiding saying for the past 5 minutes.
No, you can tell other people can do that if they want to, Joe. That's perfectly okay to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I spoke to a lot of people who are Mac Pro users, and they are not happy about this.
And they'll be running down to eBuyer.
But why? I don't get why, because actually the hardware is overpriced. Yes, it looks super gorgeous, but it's going to go under your desk and get kicked all day anyway.
I'm going to disagree with you. It's not overpriced for what it is. It's more hardware than
you need.
Maybe some users need.
Okay, that's
But there are users out there that absolutely do need workstation class hardware, and they are using it and they're pushing it to its fullest abilities.
But for the baseline,
I spoke to video editors and video producers, audio production people, scientific computing groups at different universities, some IT people. You know, an important part for them, specifically in IT, is that deploying Mac Pros is much easier than deploying iMacs because it gives them so much flexibility to swap drives. If there's a problem with some of the bit of internal hardware, they can fix it right on the spot. If they're deploying these to like graphic designers, if they need to upgrade the monitor goes bad, they can just replace the monitor. They don't have to replace the whole computer, which they have to do with an iMac.
I remember the Gadget Show.
For some use cases, Mac Minis work. This is true. For some use cases, iMacs are going to work. I talked to some people who had used Mac Pros forever, and then finally, they decided that they just wanted to trade this huge hulking machine for just this, for like a tiny little MacBook Air and just be able to carry it with them wherever they went. You know, they no longer needed the top-end performance. What they needed was ultimate portability, and Apple's like really pushing that in their line because that works for a lot of people. But there are still uses. There are still users who need something, I agree that there definitely should be something in between an iMac and a something that's maybe iMac like power and a Mac Pro like case
with expandability.
Right. I mean, there is a need for it. There are users that have a need for it. There's users that want it, and Apple could be selling it. Now the problem that at least the rumor is that Mac Pros are selling in such small numbers that it's just not profitable for Apple, which might be true. I mean, you're looking at desktops being something like 6% of their overall revenue, while iOS devices are ringing in like 70%. The majority of desktop sales, according to Apple, are iMacs. So it's definitely a small niche. But what I'm hearing from the users is that it's an important niche. That
but you're also getting that data from people that are in that niche,
And I don't think Apple cares about those people, to be quite honest.
Well, and that's very likely. I personally feel like that it's not smart of them to ignore those people, because there's just a certain there. I think there is sort of a halo effect to having hardware like this that can be used in the enterprise, that can be used by these power users, that trickles down to other people. It's not the same kind of halo effect you're going to get from like the iPhone or the iPod, obviously. But it's sort of I think that in a lot of people's minds, it legitimizes Apple as a serious computer company to have hardware like this. And if they get rid of it, all that's going to be left is consumer hardware. That's going to be great for Apple as far as profit margins are concerned. But I, you know, there's people who have a very serious worry that it's going to lead to bigger problems, 2-3 years from now when there's no, when these people need to replace their Mac Pros and they get Windows or Linux boxes.
My thought process, Chris, was immediately when they said they would get rid of the Mac Pro, my mind just turned straight to Pixar. And I was sitting thinking, forget about the global expansion of a market. I'm sitting thinking, what the hell are Pixar going to do when they render the next Toy Story, Cars?
I can actually might be able to answer that for you, Ewan.
Ah.
Because what we're talking about here is something that I've heard through a bit of a grapevine. Is that I don't know if they're killing off the Mac Pro or not. Yeah, I don't know if they're killing off the Mac Pro or not. But what I have very well sources know that they're doing what's called a customized division. It's very similar to what you would see with musical instruments or these kind of things. Fender Guitars has a custom shop. They create things specifically for that client, for that need, for what they need it for. And that's the market that you're getting in now with Apple. You've got Pixar that needs a custom job, and then you've got us that sit here and we've got enough power in our iMacs. And from what I know, that's what I've heard, is that they are going to do a customized division to do special orders. I don't know if the Mac Pro is going anywhere, but there you go.
There's a point in the chat room from Russ saying Pixar used PCs.
Yeah, and that's what I just pulled up here.
Damn.
They actually, I heard this a while ago, they actually don't use Mac much. They use Linux for their rendering stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's not like me to talk out my ass, but once in a while, eh? Right. Apple are going to refresh their entire product line in 2012. Everything is going to go fire sale, and it's all coming back. What do you reckon? That seems like a hell of a move to me.
Yeah, it happens almost every year.
No. You're talking about refreshes and upgrades and that kind of stuff. This, we're talking fire sale. Everything must go. Everything will be replaced. Every single item in the product line.
I don't even understand what you're trying to say. Is Apple going to have refreshed products? Absolutely.
No, I'm talking about every product will be refreshed. There'll be brand new units, brand new designs.
We're going to have the iPad Pro.
No, I mean, iPad will go to 3, iPhone will go to 5, but iMac will get a complete refresh, MacBook Pro will get a complete refresh,
right?
All of the iPod Touch, everything will get redone. There will be nothing that will look like it did the year before.
That's possible.
Yeah, but that's not happened before.
Not every product, no.
Not every single product.
Yeah.
That's true. Are you talking about external design?
I'm talking about everything will change.
Yeah, that I'm not in any way surprised. It's like saying the sun will rise and set tomorrow.
No!
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm unimpressed with that.
And a complete and utter change.
I'm unimpressed with that claim.
So every single product will refresh completely in design and functionality in a single year.
I'm reading that this has come from DigiTimes, this news here. And apparently their track record isn't very good.
I'm saying I don't believe it, but Chris is saying it's a certainty, so they're obviously very good at the moment.
I'm just saying Apple refreshes their products every year. I agree they don't always refresh all the external designs, but they do refresh the products every year.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mac, you're looking at the MacBook Pro has had the same basic design since 2007, 2008.
Yep.
The Mac Pros have the same basic design, even going back to the G5.
Mm. Well, the Mac Pro's got long left.
Yeah, I mean, the iMac has had the same basic design for like 4 years. The iPhone changes a little more often than that, every couple of years. The iPad you know, we're still looking at only the third revision of that, so we don't have anything to go by. But it's not surprising at all to hear that Apple is, you know, could be changing the form factors.
Okay, well, I'm wrong. I'm awfully sorry. I read the story. I thought I should say something, but obviously no. Andrew,
well,
go on.
Oh, I was going to say, I think how you're reading it, Ewan, is you're sitting here saying they're going to do every single thing in 1 year. Everything's going to be completely redesigned in 1 year. I mean, that's how I see it, honestly.
That's what I see.
And we're sitting here talking about the MacBook Pro, which has looked like the MacBook Pro since 2007, and that's essentially the case. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we will have everything. Maybe instead of the Mac Mini sitting on the flat surface now, it's going to stand upright. We can do that now, though. You just do that.
But Andrew, you wanted to talk about the 15-inch MacBook Pro Air thing. MacBook Air. Do you want to take your mute off or not?
That's why it's been so quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's just a rumor that I'd seen, but it's one I think that perhaps makes a lot of sense. There's definitely a market there for the 15-inch MacBook Pro Air. Just taking out the optical drive. There's enough space in the case left for, you know, Thunderbolt, USB. Well, essentially the same as the MacBook Air, really. that would be just such an awesome machine.
Oh, sorry, that was a big yawn. It was on camera. I thought I'd gone on to the multi-view. No, I mean, because I've got a 13-inch MacBook Pro that the wife uses, and the 13-inch MacBook Pro is too small. I'm used to a 17-inch screen for a start, so there's no way I'd get the 11-inch, not in a million years. There's no way I'd get the 13-inch, given that I've got the 13-inch MacBook, old MacBook. So a 15, I've got to say, I'd be tempted with a 15. It's a niche in the market, definitely.
It's not just a niche. I mean, I've got a 15-inch MacBook Pro. Millions of people have got 15-inch MacBook Pros. Out of those sort of 2-3 million people, maybe 8 or 9 of them use the optical drive every couple of months, once or twice. I would quite happily shed half the weight of my machine as long as I could keep the screen state on it. And if you slap an SSD in it so that it's got the boot up speed and the responsiveness of the Air, then whoop-de-doo.
Anyone else think?
Yes, whoop-de-doo.
That's Apple's new slogan. Whoop-de-doo. Tim Cook at the helm.
Think whoop-de-doo.
To be honest, I wonder if they'll make a 15-inch MacBook Air or if the Pro is just going to sort of, you know, if they're going to start getting rid of optical drives across the line.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
thinner overall.
I think there's absolutely no question that optical drives are going to disappear entirely, and so they should. I mean, I haven't used an optical drive for a long time.
Another thing.
You slap the drive, once every 6 months you use it, you slap the CD in, and an error message comes up saying this thing you haven't used for 6 months and you've been risking your coffee on is broken and I can't read it anymore. So,
go on, Joe.
How long are they going to have MacBook Pro, MacBook Air for? Because eventually, I think they're just going to have one called MacBook.
We're going to go full circle.
Yeah, right. It just doesn't make sense for them to have a MacBook Air and a MacBook Pro, but nothing called the MacBook anymore. And if you're going to talking about this 15-inch MacBook Air, maybe you'll just have an 11, a 13, and a 15, and they'll just be called MacBook. Maybe a 17-inch MacBook Pro, so possibly.
You won't get a Pro-style version. That means the antithesis of that is, Joe, then you're going to go to a 17-inch Air, effectively, and it's going to be called a MacBook Pro.
Well, that's, yeah.
Well, if they're getting away from the whole Pro line, then maybe he's right. Maybe there'll be a MacBook. I think MacBook Airs stay around. Those things are just too damn popular right
now.
I
mean, the MacBook Pro is not going to go away either as a Pro laptop. I mean, that they sell more MacBook Pros than anything other Macs.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, Chris, is if they take the technology and they can fit the technology into a box the size of the Air, mm-hmm. and still it's the Pro spec. But it still fits in the Air. Surely they'd be nonsensical not to do that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's just battery then at that point, unless they want to go huge on the batteries.
But eventually I do see the MacBook Air anyway just becoming the MacBook rather than being called MacBook Air, you know, just MacBook.
Well, they've got to kill the MacBook Pro line before they can think of that.
Well, you just have you just have the current Airs as the MacBooks, and then the MacBook Pro is its own machine, basically.
I think if they're going to kill the Mac Pro, why not kill the MacBook Pro? It doesn't make any sense anymore. If you're going to get rid of Pro,
they might have to rename. Maybe the MacBook Pro becomes the MacBook. You know, that's another possibility, because I don't really think they're going to keep the Pro name for much longer.
Right. Mm. Pro has got to go.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Does it put consumers off, though? Because I don't think it does.
No.
Nope.
I don't think so.
I don't think calling it a Pro puts them off, whereas the Pro for the what's it is for the Mac Pro is intimidating.
Well, I'd say with the MacBook Pro, it's quite the opposite, because I know people who buy it just because it says Pro.
Yeah. Tim Cook is putting his stamp on Apple. He wants to make it his own and get away from the Steve Jobs lurch and crawl and that kind of stuff. Yes, no?
Lurch. I like a boot.
Lurch and looking over his shoulder, that kind of stuff.
All right. Yes.
Yeah, I did talk rubbish. Don't worry. It's fine.
He's not the right. I don't think, you know, should Johnny Ive be the CEO? Perhaps
no.
No.
The place would look great, but function like crap.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what's the CEO's job? I mean, what is the CEO's job? It's kind of figureheady, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think so. I think at Apple, you'd probably find it's a lot more about guidance and control.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. But it's policy-level guidance and control, not what direction is the company taking rather than nitty-gritty. I mean, Tim Cook, to be fair to Steve Jobs, one of the things that Tim Cook mentioned at the little memorial service was the fact that Jobs had constantly gone on about what happened to Disney and how it was seized by this "what would Walt do" thing, and he didn't want that to happen to Apple. So Tim Cook is kind of the irony. Tim Cook's clearly got instructions to do what he wants to do rather than follow "what would Steve do" in the whole sequence of things. So hopefully he spent enough time learning that he is going to do what he wants to do, but with his own slant on it. And apparently he wants to stamp his authority on it pretty much straight away, which, you know, the next 2 years he's going to tell whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you get the feeling from seeing Tim at the memorial, and I know that he was flat on the keynote because of the Steve Jobs situation, but then at the memorial, you just get the feeling that this is the man that's going to colour every Apple product beige and cover it in corduroy.
Mm. No.
Funny you said that. Oh, I don't know. I almost kind of agree. I'm not feeling the Tim love. I really think that we've seen the top of the top of the top with Apple for a while. I think we're going to have a few more products, good products, that were for a few more years, 2-3 more years, because Steve have his stamp on them. And I think we're going to see a decline after that. I just don't firmly believe that the company can function like it did when Steve was there. I mean, we can call Steve when he was this or that, or he was a hard ass, or whatever you want to do it. But that's why that company is the way it is. It's why we're all sitting here talking about it right now.
Mm.
And Tim just doesn't have it.
And that's not to say that Tim Cook wasn't easily the world's best chief financial officer, because I think he obviously was just an absolute genius and he's just the man with figures. But I, you know, unless he sort of discovers some kind of oomph and charisma and style, I think there's going to be a bit of a problem.
Well, I mean, the chat room's pretty split on this. You've got Saxon saying Tim Cook does the figures, Ive does the keynotes, but Ive doesn't do the keynotes. He's
I'd like to see him try.
Well, he does nothing live. I mean, he was very good on the little memorial thing, but he doesn't do keynote stuff, does he? Not at all, because he's only look. He's not.
He doesn't like the spotlight.
Yeah. Because I think when the unibody MacBooks were introduced, he came up for like 5 minutes and he didn't seem to be enjoying it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Street Machine says Tim Cook's awesome, looks calm, sneaky, always coming up with something cunning and making things more streamlined. Dave says Tim Cook, dull. Russ says Tim Cook's a numbers man, at least it will I work together. There's a big, big separation of those who like them.
Yeah. Well, and what you're forgetting too is that Jonathan Ive has a lot of I can't think of the word, but I mean he has a lot of control over, you know, the product direction. I mean, that is something that Steve did as well. Like, it's sort of like Ive is controlling product direction as far as looks. You got Bob Mansfield working on the engineering, and then you basically, Tim Cook is sort of like Scott Forstall doing the software engineering, and then Tim Cook is sort of like the tiebreaker, making sure it's all working together. And that's when you think about what he did as the chief operating officer, that was really what he did well, was making sure that the whole supply chain was just moving very smoothly. All the various parts, the different manufacturers, suppliers, all that was working as smoothly as possible. I mean, that's essentially what his role is going to be as CEO, as far as, working with Mansfield and Ive and Forstall.
Steve in the chat room says, I think Big Fat Phil is the best face of Apple. Robert agrees he's got stage presence. Someone suggested that I should do the keynotes. Very flattered. Thank you very much. I'd love to do them. They'd be superb. Bagel Tech Keynotes Limited. And maybe they should get Noah Wiley to do the keynotes now from now on, because, of course, he looks like Steve.
He does a really good Steve impression.
Yeah.
Well, he was the one in Pirates of the Valley Pirates.
Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. There we go. Yep.
When Steve Jobs was on medical leave, I think Phil Schiller did do a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, he was fine. He was okay. Yeah. I liked him. I thought he looked good. Anything else in Apple that we want to talk about? Because I've got to say, there's been lots of rumoury stuff, but there's not a lot of meat on the bones, is there, this week?
There's two interesting bits. I noticed that sales of Steve Jobs' glasses are up through the roof.
His glasses? They're going to...
The people that make his glasses.
Oh, right.
The sales of Steve, of the glasses that he buy.
I thought they were coat hangers. Who makes his glasses then?
They are made by a German company. They're called Lunar Classic Round PPs.
Some PPs, please. Lunar Classic Round PPs.
Lunar is the company. L-U-N-O-R.
Yeah.
And they're called Classic Rund PP, which I guess Classic Round, whatever. And they cost $450 a pop without the lenses.
Lunar eyeglasses. And they cost how much?
$450 a pop.
Well, that's not bad, is it?
That's not too bad.
It's on page one, the sunglasses of Steve Jobs.
So they're not pushing that at all then?
No commercialism here. No, absolutely not.
Of course not. I'm surprised we haven't seen the Black Turtleneck Company come out and say, as Steve wore.
That was Christian Lacroix.
Well, they were Issey Miyake, weren't they? Those black turtlenecks are made by Issey Miyake.
No,
Lacroix. No, they're Issey Miyake.
No. Yeah, it's a Japanese guy. Well, they actually discontinued him, and he wanted to buy a bunch.
He bought 100 or something at one go.
Yeah, like he bought 100, 150. He had his assistant actually basically harass this Japanese guy and like, whatever it costs, tell me. And we want you to just make enough for Steve for the rest of his life.
Which unfortunately wasn't very long. But
not Mac related, but somebody that I know in Siren Sister told me this. They work locally. And Prince Charles, he has his own toothpaste made by Colgate, and they have a little division, and he orders it in bulk, and they make it to the same recipe that they made it when he was a child, and he orders it in boxes, and they make it specially for him because he doesn't like anything other than the toothpaste he had when he was a little baby
at prep school and getting rogered by the boy next to him.
That's it. Bend over, Charles.
And being taken out for six of the best with a cricket bat. Huzzah.
Yeah.
There we go.
There ain't much news when we're talking about Prince Charles.
True.
Mail being the most popular thing on the old iPhone. People saying
Hotmail.
Yeah. Hotmail are saying, people love Hotmail on the iPhone.
I can't believe that. I don't want to believe that.
Me neither.
Apple TV then, Kyle. Now, Will last week said that the Apple TV bet with you was that it had to be here by the end of the year. Now, I don't recall. I thought you said May.
May, yeah. I wouldn't have said that because that's what I've heard. So.
Yes. May.
I think Will's trying
to get out of his $20.
Yeah.
But they're now, so the rumor's now saying consumer release in 2013.
No, I don't think so. If we're seeing this big product next year, then I think we'll get the TV next year. That's what I've heard, that we're going to see an Apple television next year.
Very good.
And we won't be able to afford it.
Are you serious?
No, I don't know.
You don't get the price on it, no.
I don't have any price on it. I would have to say it's going to have to be reasonable. If they want to hit a market like they've done for iPad and all these things, you can't sit there and charge. You could charge a little bit more than what LG or Panasonic or Sony or whatever. You could charge a little bit more because you're Apple and you do all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
And you integrate it with this and that. But I don't think they can go much more over than a normal TV would be. And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what they're thinking.
Very good. Have we got any cool thingies?
What, you mean after my ridiculing last week?
You did get a bit of a kicking, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, but...
And I got to say, Will Green, he's not one to talk.
No.
I mean, some of his are piss poor. So, Chris, have you got a cool thing for us, mate? You want me to come back to you?
No, I don't.
You haven't? You lazy bastard.
Lazy?
Now, I know Swagger ass. Because he sent me the link. Talk me through it, dude.
What, me?
Yeah, your cool thing.
Oh, okay, cool. It's called iClip. It's actually been away for a while. I spent money again this week. I know, shocking. $10.
Good grief.
It's really cool, though. What it does is it takes everything you've made, a copy and paste of or whatever. It puts it in a history so you can also organize your stored clips. Use multiple sets, these kind of, it's really handy, actually. I think $10 is way overpriced for it, but as much as I say that, I do use it a lot. So it's one of these things. I actually would have to say that I would give it, if you're going to give it on a star rating, I would give it a 7 out of 10 right now. Actually, I do have another cool thingy, too. I have two other cool thingies.
Go on.
I didn't get to say. It has nothing to do with Mac, but it's a fantastic album. It's called Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds.
Oh, you got it in the end.
Yeah. It's great. Great album. British. And it's also available on vinyl. Yeah, there you go.
That reminds me of a sketch once where there's a kid looking at a picture and his mom's holding up a record in vinyl. And he said, "What's that?" She says, "This is Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto number 2. He says, "No, the black thing with the hole in the middle." Andy, what have you got for us, pal? Something decent.
Right. Oh, something decent have I bought this. Thanks to Paul BT, iCyber Paul, for this one. He showed me this the other day at the Cotswold Mac.
I bumped into him this week.
Did you?
Yeah, I was at the facility that I was at on Wednesday. I walked through the canteen and Paul was sat there. Hello, mate.
Oh, he might have pushed my small world, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway, so go on.
This is, obviously you can do on the iPhone, new iOS 5, you can do yourself your custom ringtones and pictures so that your phone rings, you can see your mum phoning you or your dog's phoning you and things. But this is quite cool, is custom vibrations.
Go on then.
Which means you basically go into the
on your iPhone. On the iPhone,
go into the settings, and then you select at sounds, and then you'll see right at the bottom, vibration patterns, and then you click on that and you can set and you can create vibrations of your own, and you get a little, turns the iPhone into a touchpad, and you press go and you can go tap tap tap, and you can tap out a pattern and record that, and then you can assign that vibration to.
Is this in iOS 5?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On the 4S only?
Mm-mm. No, on the 4.
Because I in sounds I haven't got that.
I think this is an accessibility feature you have to turn on as well. You have to go into accessibility and turn custom vibrations on in accessibility. And then you can assign a different vibration so that from your pocket of your jeans, you can tell who's calling you.
So the more you vibrate, the sexier the person is then.
It's not a volume.
That's one way you could do it. That's one way.
You could tap out like, did it, and assign that to your wife, and or like did it, and assign that to the bank manager, and did
well, if you're a Morse code geek, this is
yeah exactly
yeah you can spell the damn name.
You could spell out everyone's name in Morse code and assign it to each person in your phone book.
Mm-hmm.
Is that better than last week's? Is it?
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's got heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So you found it now.
Doesn't come across on audio very well, does it? No.
No.
Never mind.
It's more of an intimate thing, really.
Chris has now got a cool thing. What is it, mate?
I just remembered I'd gotten a PR about this recently, and which is strange because usually when I get PRs, I immediately delete them because they're so annoying. But this one caught my eye, and it's called a plug bug.
Yes.
This company, 12 South, makes a lot of different iPad and iPod accessories and things like that. They make this new thing called the plug bug, and it's if you've used a MacBook charger, you know, it's got the little plug part, can snap off, and you can slide on like extension cords, or you can slide on adapters for different countries. Well, what they've done is they've made a charger that slides onto your MacBook charger, and it puts a little 10-watt USB port that you can use to plug an iPad or an iPhone at the same time. Yeah. One plug.
You need to use your standard charger as the base element for your Mac Pro, but your MacBook Pro rather. But then your little bit that they clip on at the top that goes into your outlet provides you with your 10-watt stuff. It looks really, really good. What impressed me was the price, mate. For $35, I thought that was pretty innovative and pretty cool.
Yeah, and I mean, when I have to travel, like for conferences and, you know, like Macworld and things like that, or press events, I just see it as like a really, really helpful, handy thing to have.
Looks super gorgeous. Well done, mate. Good pick. I like that one. I saw that this week and reported it on the Daily Show, and I was well chuffed with it, well impressed. Joe, what have you got for us?
Well, you know what? 11-inch MacBook Air. I know it's nothing new, but I just got one.
Oh, you lucky bucky boy.
Fantastic.
Jolly good. And you're enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
It is the best netbook around.
Definitely, yeah.
That doesn't exist, that no one ever wanted.
That's right. It's got a higher pixel density than the 13-inch MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep. Yeah?
Yep.
Very good.
And it's 16:9 screen.
Yes, yeah, beautiful. Perfect for watching a movie on a plane. My pick is Alios. It's a web... who's typing?
Not me.
Shut up. It's Alios. It's a weather application for the iPad, and it looks gorgeous. I mean, the map for the world is really nice. But basically how you move it is that you've got a static reticle that sits in front of you, and then you skim the map beneath that reticle, and it focuses in automatically on key places, and you double tap it to zoom into those places and look at the weather that's there. It shows you the amount of night and day. You can see they're half blue, half white, and that changes as you zoom around the map. And then also you can go through the next 6 hours of weather or the next 6 days of weather with it, and you just do it by turning the outer bezels on the reticle. It's really, really slick, really gorgeous, super sexy, smooth, and it tells you what the weather's doing as well, which is what you really want it for. There you go. But there's a whole load of other stuff that I've yet to unlock, I think, but it was excellent. Our last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. They are the people that keep us alive and afloat. They are everything to us. They picked up all the terabytes for last month's downloads, and we had a lot. We had over 8 terabytes of downloads in video and audio, and we had 130,000 downloads last month. So thank you to everyone who downloaded us. Thanks for all the support and help, and thank you, UK2, for doing that as well for us, because without them, we would be utterly and totally lost. We have got nowhere near enough money to cope with the bandwidth charges that would go along with what we're doing, and if you didn't support them, then we'd go out of business as well. So not that we're in a business. All you've got to do is go to our website, bageltechnews.com, click on their logo, and then that'll take you through. They'll know we sent you. Just do that anyway, whether you want to buy anything or not. Just click that link to show that, you know, we're driving you towards it. And then what I want you to do is, if you want to buy anything, cruise around for their services, get to the outlet and put in the offer code BagelTech. That'll get you 15% off your checkout. And if you are transferring domain in, then all you've got to use is BagelDNS as your offer code, as well as, and that'll get you the DNS management charge levied as waived as well. So that's sort of 15 or 20 quid's worth. They look after us a lot. They're going to look after, I think, Will Green's podcast as well. And I think they're going to look after iMike's network, and they already look after Dr. McAllister's network. So please support them. UK2.net, they're a fantastic bunch, and they gave away a Nintendo 3DS this week, which was really kind of them, and it went to a lady named Amanda, but we can't get in touch with her. She's not replying to any of the emails. Whether she thinks they're all a scam or not, I don't know, but she's one. If she doesn't claim soon, then I'm afraid that's it. I think it's actually one of TJ's followers.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think it's one of TJ's followers, so maybe we need to get TJ to send her a message.
Maybe. She may think it's spam, or she just doesn't believe it. Somebody's trying to rip her off here.
No, exactly.
Possible.
Right. Where can we get a hold of you, fellas? Chris?
You can find me on arstechnica.com, usually in the Apple section, or I'm always on Twitter, ranting, raving, scoffing, whatever, at ForzMac.
Cool. Well done. Carl, where are you?
At Kyle Swagger at Twitter and KyleSwagger.com.
Thank you, mate. Andy?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to wake you up, mate.
Sure. I'm at Dr. Happy Mac on Twitter. I must say, my Twitter's went mental the other day. I just got a couple of retweets by a few sort of big boys on Twitter, and it was just mental. All these people started following me. Mad, including I'm quite pleased to happy with Stephen Moffat, the producer of Doctor Who, following me now. So
nice.
Pleased with that. Yeah, nice
good
chap.
Man. Man.
So at Dr. Happy Mac on Twitter, and then www.drhappymac.co.uk.
You name dropper.
Yes.
Are you going to get that? Are you on a MacBook Pro at the moment?
Me? Yep.
Are you going to get it wired for next week's show so it doesn't keep dropping audio?
It is wired.
It's wired. You need to get your audio connection sorted out then, mate, because your audio's in and out, bud.
Oh, okay. I'll have it.
He's going to spend 3 hours looking for that now, and there's sod all wrong. I just thought I'd wind you up.
But next week, I'll be on, and I've got a new iMac in the office, and I'll be on that next week.
Jolly good, mate. I'm only winding you up. It's just a joke. You should have just turned to the shows the other week. That was all. And last but by no means least, Joe, where can people get a hold of you, mate?
Wow, there you go.
Oh, he's got his own lower third, you cheeky exactly. Git. It doesn't go with my blue. Take it off.
Well, livetechkeynotes.com for our illicit streams of the Apple keynotes. Yes. And thisweekinnonsense.com for the podcast, which there might be something coming there.
Twin, This Week in Nonsense. And also they can get you on Twitter at I Am Elite.
Yes. I need to change that name.
Why?
Actually, I should keep it because I have it.
You're getting abuse.
No, well, if I screw up something on the live tech keynotes thing, people say, I don't think you're very elite.
Well, no, but so you just say, I'm not elite at that.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm a good swimmer.
Yeah.
That's all I am. Good swimmer.
Works, yeah.
We'll be back again next week. Don will be back. Will's kicking about, I think. He might show up as well. And we'll talk all things Apple that happens. Hopefully there'll be a bit more news and we can shoot the breeze a little bit more. And hopefully Dr. Sweary Mac won't say too many words and that I'll have to then try and figure out how to edit out the video. If anyone's got a way of editing video quickly and easily by dropping something over the top or something, just as easy as audio, please send it through to bageltechnews@gmail.com. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.